This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Berryfield and Mike Regalado, and occasionally some friends, talking all things UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
Well, hello, and welcome to What's Brewing. I am your host, Jake Merrifield, and I'm joined by my good buddy, Mike Regalado.
What's up, y'all?
For an MJ edition.
The ceiling is the roof.
The MJ edition.
But not really. It will be What's Brewing Show and friends. And we'll be hearing from quite a few friends today. One of those friends will be...
About time.
Bill Shirley, probably. One of those friends will be...
Probably.
Jamal Artis, for sure. Probably.
Yeah, he's a for sure. Whenever he says he's going to do it, he'll do it.
So. The Godfather Jim Bendat's going to be chiming in with a song to answer his previous songs. We'll have Michael Hanna making an appearance.
Oh.
And by the way, a B-Team episode is going to come your way in another day or two. So that's exciting. So, yeah, lots of What's Brewing Show and lots of friends. And I don't know right now, starting the show, how many episodes this show is actually going to be, depending on how long me and Mike and friends go.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. It might be broken up into two episodes. Who knows? But also, I'm planning on at least one or two more episodes coming later in the week to do a couple of things. Number one, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have Mark Shipper on the show of Fifth Down College Football. We'll talk about the end of the Kelly era and the beginning of the Foster era with him and see what he has to say. And also, I'm trying to plan on doing just a Chip Kelly retrospective episode, but we'll see if that comes together now, if it comes back. It comes on after I'm done with my vacation. By the way, for you listeners, there may or may not be a What's Brewing Show next week. If there will be one, it will be a Mike Regalado edition of the What's Brewing Show.
Mike Regalado.
Solo.
Mike going solo.
Iron Mike.
Big applause, Big Mike.
In advance for doing the show next week, Mike, because I will be on a boat somewhere in the Mexican Riviera.
I'm on a boat.
Parts unknown. And actually, it's not parts unknown. It'll be Mexican Riviera. But I'll be on a boat all next week. So thank you and wish me luck and hope I come back. I'm planning on coming back. But you never know. Maybe I'll just stay down there. Who knows?
All right.
But this is the What's Brewing Show on the What's Brewing Show Network.
If you don't, can I take over the mixer?
Yeah, I will. Yes. If I die anytime soon, Mike, this mixer is yours.
Ooh, you heard it here first, people.
Yeah, you can just play the show, and this will be the will, the de facto will. But yeah, What's Brewing Show? What's Brewing Show Network? It is a network, even though there's only kind of two and a half active shows right now.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Hanna isn't sure whether or not he's going to do many more B-teams, but he did one, and so that might be coming your way soon. West Coast Bias is currently on hiatus because me and Jamal haven't figured out that situation yet. That's okay. It's not a big deal. It may or may not return, but if it does, great. If it doesn't, well, you know, whatever. We love Jamal. Also, the bare minimum. Me and my daughter Megan talking about her years at Cal, and she had a big weekend, went to play UC Merced, and they swept those UC Merced, not sure what their mascot is, girls in club softball. That was fun. I should be recording with her fairly soon, so hopefully you enjoy that. But, you know, really, it's about the What's Brewing Show, and that's what this show is. And we thank you for listening. What's Brewing Show at gmail.com. If you have something to say on email, at What's Brewing Show on Instagram or Twitter. I posted my salt block steak experiment for the Super Bowl on the Instagram feed over the weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Mike posted stuff on his own Twitter because he was out gallivanting all weekend with, you know, some foxy lady.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. Let's go Kelly Honey Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Mike, you had a good weekend, didn't you?
I think it was our presence at the Kings game, which allowed them to win 4-0 because
let's go.
The Kings are in
go,
Buffalo
Kings, go.
Right now.
GKG.
They got their ass kicked 7-0.
Oof.
Rough. Yeah.
That's
rough.
The hangover effect from having royalty in the audience.
Yep.
Anywho, thank you very much for your support. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/whatsbrewingshow for just how much, Mike?
$2.
Just $2 a month.
$2.
We'll send the What's Brewing Show into the future or on the Substack, whatsbrewing.substack.com for a little more than how much, Mike?
$2.
$2.
It's more like, you know, 4 or 5 or something, I think, is what it rounds out to. But we appreciate your support there as well. So, you know, oh, and also you can catch us on YouTube If you go on to YouTube and search What's Brewing Show, it will come up. Please subscribe. Go, like, hey, do me a favor. Like, subscribe on there. Subscribe on the Twitter. Subscribe wherever. You know, wherever you can give us some followers. That would help us out a little bit. We would appreciate that. If you want to go to get some merch, you can go to the What's Brewing Show Network merch site, My Locker site. It's in the notes, show notes. Look below. And, you know, by the way, Shame Dog just showed me a bare minimum.
The bare minimum
mug he got, which is pretty darn cool. So thank you very much. And of course, thank you to Inland Empire Dave for designing all our logos. He is just a awesome dude. And finally, you can call the What's Brewing hotline. We got some calls this week. We'll be playing either at the end of the show or at the during the other show if we break it up. But anyways, the number for that is 805-399-4WBS.
Suck it, Reign of Troy.
They just did a show, and they were talking about our UCLA coaching hire. Jealous?
Jealous much?
I would say at this point no, but you know they weren't overly disrespectful. They weren't overly generous either, but they are what they are. But anyways, call the hotline. Let us know what you think, and thank you very much for your support. Now, let's get on to bringing on some of those and friends. Namely, one William Henry Shirley III and Jamal Artis at Champs Papa 1015. And we'll get on talking about all of this crazy news about UCLA football. Oh, by the way, I did a short reaction pod to Chip Kelly being gone. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple little Easter eggs in there for you to listen to. It's only like 13 minutes long, but I thought it was enjoyable. I was especially staccato in that particular episode because I was... It was a mall cast that I was taping while I was walking around the mall. And so I had to chop out all the, you know, the heavy breathing and pauses in there. So it just came out interesting in the pace at which I talked. Mm. And it was a lot of this kind of staccato. But, you know.
Oh, so we can put a beat to it and try to do a remix?
Maybe you could have. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'm on it.
I appreciate that, Mike. But anyways, go back and listen to that if you didn't hear my instant reaction to Chip Kelly being out as UCLA head coach. That son of a gun. But anywho, let's get to bringing the boys on. All right, join us on the hotline after a little bit of technical difficulties. But it's Bill Shirley and Jamal Artist. Artist, not artist, artist. Guys, how are you doing?
Says you.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? Welcome back.
What's up?
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey.
I don't know. It's been pretty boring in Westwood lately. I mean, there was really nothing that's happened in the last 4 or 5 days.
Nothing at all.
Nothing. No, not at all. Oh, yeah. Chip Kelly's gone. So.
Yay.
Did you guys think, like, when you started hearing all of that, all of the rumors about him going to the NFL, first off, that was a reality?
No.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say no because he kept getting mentioned for all these jobs and not getting them. So I just thought, well, that's not gonna happen.
And I thought so because I just felt like he was interviewing a lot. I mean, because when you have like basic, you know, it wasn't just like rumors. It was like no, he actually did an interview with some of these, you know, some of these different teams. You know, it shows number one, he wanted to get out, and two, like there's a real chance, especially after Cliff Kingsbury, you know, went to the Commanders. You're like, oh, he might still get there. And then he pulls a nice little rabbit out of his hat and says, F you guys, I'm going to demote myself and become an OC at Ohio State.
Now, really quickly, do you guys think that, did that warrant anger? Do you think amongst, the UCLA fan base, knowing that most people, if not all...
I don't mind Chip getting another job. I just didn't like the timing of it. That's all. I mean, I understand at the end of the day, he has to do what he has to do. But, you know, look, the guy's a gajillionaire already. Look, if I made $6 million so in California, that's what? After taxes, $500,000?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, he was making good money here. You know, he could have done it earlier. And it was not like he's poor. It's just, it was the timing of, I don't mind you moving on. I don't mind it. It's just when you did it, man, that could have been done earlier.
But with everything that was going on,
that's what makes everybody mad.
Yeah.
I think that's what everybody was angry about was the timing of it. If he was going to quit, why didn't he quit when he was sucking against Arizona State or, you know, the juggernaut that is Cal football. So yeah, I understand that people are angry. It's definitely the timing. It's like, you know, the college football season's over. Recruiting is, you know, recruiting was it signing day was had already passed. So there's a lot of justified anger for UCLA fans.
Who looks worse, Chip or UCLA at this point?
Right now, today, who looks worse?
Actually, I was just going to ask that. Do you think on Friday or now? Because right now, I think UCLA is everyone's.
Okay. Friday is when Chip left, right?
Yes.
Friday is when Chip left on the 9th. Who looked worse? I think Chip looked worse. And Plaschke, I mean, good old, I'm not a fan of him, but good old Plaschke there wrote a nice little article on a sneaky SOB leaving town and how he skipped town. So on that day, I think Chip looked worse. You know, are you asking again, Jake, today after the hire of Deshaun Foster or just then?
I mean, after, you know, now that the UCLA has made a hire, Chip Kelly is now at Ohio State, probably going to win a national title, or at least is the odds-on favorite to do so, and will probably have his image rehabilitated in about, you know, 9 months from now, regardless. Who do you think comes out of this worse?
Right now, like, after today's fanfare, and which we will get into, I think there was a lot of energy injected into the program. So I think Chip Kelly looks even worse. And I mean, the narrative behind a head coach taking a demotion, I guess, to a, you know, another Power Five team. But let's be real, that's a top five team where UCLA is not maybe even a top 50 team. What do you guys think?
I kind of felt like it was 50-50, you know, because one, everybody was saying, and I think you mentioned this in the immediate aftermath of Chip going to Ohio State, Jake, on the Mallcast, was that why didn't they do this when they were at their lowest, at the, you know, when they could have had somebody, when they could have lured Jed the Fish or Jonathan Smith, you know, or just done a longer search. So I really thought it was 50-50 about who looks worse. But then again, we don't know what the mystery meeting was in November, like you mentioned. We don't know how much the big donors sort of stopping the fire Chip situation had a hand in it. So, but I still think it's like it still makes UCLA athletics look kind of like, because one of the things that came out, at least when I was listening to national radio, about what was what they thought about UCLA in terms of a job, if the football program doesn't look like an attractive job, even though it should, it's still Los Angeles, but you know, California being a big recruiting state, but because of the transition, the way the program has looked kind of stagnant for quite a while now, it doesn't look like an attractive job, and I'm sure. Even though UCLA's fans are excited by Deshaun Foster and the way he looked today's news press conference, I still think that the program doesn't look as good as UCLA fans might want it to look.
I'll chime in on that one too, Jamal. I don't think, like you said, I try to put it in the time frames of when things happen. When Chip left, I thought UCLA had the upper hand. Now I think Chip probably, you know, will probably, as Jake already said, he already leading question, Jake. But yes, you know, the odds that Chip does well this year with those NFL level talents at Ohio State and the chance of either, you know, of course, getting to the playoffs and maybe even winning it all. Chip will probably come out in the short term, come out ahead, right? UCLA, I you know, I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more, but I would like to argue they could have just done an interim, you know, a coach this year, because I think no matter what, even if you have Deshaun, whoever, it's going to be a shitty year, right? In terms of the outcome. So it's if it's going to be a shitty year no matter what, right? Why not just hit rock bottom and get an intern and then have a whole year to really search for someone rather than taking it could be a payoff. You know, I don't know if you guys heard Wayne Cook on Petros and Money, but he was just like, you know, you know, Terry Donahue was a Flyer, and look how that turned out. So, those are high risk, right? High risk.
Can you imagine Chip Kelly going to Ohio State, like you said, and playing with these NFL level talent and going, oh, wow, we could really win with this talent. Why didn't I do this before?
Yeah, I think he knew that. I think he knows he can win with NFL talent. It's just that he did nothing to do to get him in.
Yeah.
He just thought, like, what, him being him?
Yeah, exactly.
Would do it, which is that's just not enough. And that hubris is left us where we are today.
Yeah.
What do you think is closer to the truth, guys? Chip Kelly left UCLA because of the lack of NIL and the lack of support and the general financial limitations that are supposedly so existent at UCLA? Or is it more accurate to say that any problems that are of that description were created by Chip Kelly, and it was kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, so to speak, and that's why he's leaving? Where do you guys land on that?
Well, the rumor has always been, we've talked about it, other people have chimed in who feel they have insider knowledge, that he just was not interested in that aspect of being of the program. And so in terms of NIL, in terms of trying to prop up financial avenues to get UCLA up to a more elite level, I think it's a making of his own creation. We just talked about it. You know, he's going to go to Ohio State, and the level of talent is going to jump up by a lot. That's just not something that was happening at UCLA, and that's as much his fault, more so, I think, than institutional issues. And I'll point to Stanford. I mean, I know they're a private school, but you still have to have certain grades, and I don't know if they were cooking grades. Well, yeah, I do know that they were cooking grades for their football players, because it's Stanford.
Breaking news.
I'll take the guy. Well, come on, everybody knows. If you go to Stanford, you're going to be on the honors program, even if you got one thumb up your ass, which that's half of Stanford's student body. I'll go with Northwestern.
Go Bears.
Go Bears, damn straight. Northwestern, again, private school. But still, academic excellence is what's important. And they were able to have more competitive football teams at times than UCLA. So I don't buy the whole financial institutional limitations argument that some people want to make all the time. And I've heard on national radio, too. It's like the coach has to be willing to put in some effort and work to get the kind of players he needs to make it a successful program. And for all intents and purposes, no one has said, no, Chip was working hard. No one has said that. Everyone has said that Chip just wasn't interested in that aspect. And he's not the only one. I mean, the rumor is Nick Saban got tired of that situation, too, even though he had so many more advantages.
But he was a recruiter. Yeah, he was a recruiter, and he just got tired of doing it, right? The problem with Chip and the problem with the reputation UCLA is wearing during this, and some of it is deserved, but some of it isn't, it's that, the platitudes that come out on the end of Kelly leaving, he's a football coach and he just wants to coach football, which is true. And I think we all admired him for his chops in that to some degree or another. But then he is leaving because of the lack of resources, but the lack of resources are there because he's the one who dug the fucking hole with the boosters and with the press and with everything else. And, the reason that fewer people are going to the Rose Bowl than ever before are because of the Chip Kelly era, but no one wants to say that. They say, oh, he's leaving because no one's going to the Rose Bowl. Well, he caused that. He's leaving because there's no NIL. Well, he caused that. He's leaving because there's no recruits. He caused that. And that's what it's always the predicate of the idea that everybody wants to put forth that they're not actually saying. And that's what's frustrating to me. And that's why I think that, at the end of this, it's going to piss me off that Kelly is completely rehabilitated, and whether Deshaun Foster works out or not, hopefully he does. But right now you'd have to say, it's a pretty fucking uphill climb, and that's not how Kelly's going to be remembered, except for by us Bruin fans. And that is a frustrating situation, I think.
Oh, trust me. I think San Francisco 49er and Philadelphia Eagle fans will know exactly what we are going through.
Yeah, Chip Kelly, what's up with it? But, I don't know. Whatever. When you know, we're probably going to do a little bit of a retrospective on the Chip Kelly era down the line, and I'll save more of my vitriol for that nonsense. But let's just get to the fact that UCLA did hire a coach. They hired Deshaun Foster, former was he a first team All-American? I don't remember if he was or not, but he was a Bruin All-American for sure. He was also an assistant coach for the Bruins as the running backs coach for quite a long time. And now he is our head coach. He had a nice press conference, all that stuff. Mikey, you didn't go to the press conference. But you watched it?
I did, yes.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But just Jamal, or actually Bill, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on this hire as opposed to whoever else they could have got maybe this late in the season?
Yeah, that's what I said it earlier. Like, I just feel like they could have, sometimes people want the quick fix, and I get it. You want to look good right now, but the bigger, if you look at the bigger picture, and I understand maybe it's what's his name, Jermond's fearing for his job. I don't know, whatever it is. But I just feel like if you just go through the short-term pain of a crappy season, that you're going to have a crappy season no matter what. Why not just, instead of rushing to get a coach, which I'm not knocking Deshaun.
Did he have to do it in 96 hours?
That's what I'm saying. You didn't have to do this. Like, and it's like these players, it's not like these are, God bless our players, but it's not like it's like a NFL roster of players, right? It's not. And it's, you know, if we lose some, you lose some. That's just the nature of the game now. And you're going to have a tough season next year. So it's like, if you know these things, why not just go through the hell short term of one bad season and have the chance to do thorough research? Hell, your thorough research might, probably not, but might lead you back to Deshaun. But you know, I just don't think it had to be rushed. I just really think that we could have just had it, you know, just gone through it and had a really, and see the opportunities next year. And once again, you could have someone who has, I don't know, who has West Coast ties, who you know, maybe was a former Pac-12 coach or a current Pac-12 coach. I don't know. But the point is, you could have had better options if you just waited.
Bill, don't you realize that they vetted 20 guys and interviewed 11 different people for this job? I mean, I don't know what you're talking about with a hurry. How could you possibly make that statement? Jamal, what do you think?
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, I want to say I wasn't surprised just because of Deshaun Foster's ties to the program, you know, being an associate coach, being a running backs coach. And I agree with Bill, the fact that they did it so quickly, to me, it's kind of like a desperate shot at doing something versus being practical. And like Bill said, and waiting out the year. It's going to be a tough year. You're talking about a transition year. And then seeing if you can't figure something better out. But at the same time, it's like they got their guy. I mean, I might be painted a little by seeing the press conference, but Jermond was excited about him being there, and Deshaun Foster was really excited about being there. That might have just been what pushed them to scoop him up. Otherwise, he would have gotten the NFL, and you never know. He might have just wanted to stay there. That was the other thing, because he was going to the Raiders. He might have just wanted to stay in the NFL. And if they revisited this again next year, then he might not have been the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty fair to say, don't you think, that Deshaun Foster is only getting hired as a Power 5 head coach at UCLA, like nowhere else, correct? I mean, we're all in agreement on that?
Yeah.
Now, however, it's probably also fair to say, too, I think, and tell me if you have any thoughts on this, if Foster is successful as UCLA head coach, he's probably a better long-term solution than anybody they could get anyway, just because he's probably very devoted to the program, and he could be a guy that sticks around for a lot longer than certainly somebody like Jed the Fish, who we all hope they would have hired in, you know, November if they would have fired Kelly then or something like that. I mean, this is a guy who, if he hits, he could be, you know, here for a while. Do you think there's anything wrong with that statement?
No, I don't. I don't think so. Because first of all, this is his first head coaching job. You know, the difference between Jonathan Smith and well, not Jed the Fish so much, but Jonathan Smith, he'd coached as a head coach at other places. Am I wrong on that? No, yeah, he coached it as a head coach. So there's always the notion that he would go somewhere else. And Jed the Fish obviously was not loyal to Arizona. That's all I've been hearing around here. So he probably was very gettable in November. But I agree with you. I think Deshaun Foster, if he can form a successful program or an impact program, I guess, I could see it being a long-term situation versus one of those other guys who might have looked somewhere else.
And I know I'm the optimist here a lot, but I could also see this as a situation in where they're like, okay, maybe he doesn't succeed. Maybe 2-3 years, and it's just absolute, you know, more of the same. Well, by then you're getting, you know, all that money, and I'm sure that even UCLA, being as bad as it could potentially be, you're going to have all that money to pay a coach. That would be a time to strike and go, okay, you know what, we struck out, let's do this again. But again, that depends if Jarmon is still here. That depends on whoever the new Gene Block. What the hell's his chancellor? Depends on who the new chancellor is. Are they going to get behind sports? So you know, I hate to go a little dark here, but in a way, that's kind of a win-win. You have someone to carry the program who has more excitement. All of a sudden, everybody's donating to NIL all day long. There's the media is just, you know, seems to be behind UCLA right now. And you know, God forbid, this first season is probably going to be hell. But at least right now, UCLA fans have this off season to go, okay, there's some excitement and I can do this. If it doesn't work in 2-3 years, and I hate to go through it again, but at that point, that's when you can really go, okay, now we really have the money where, you know, the AD will probably be out of debt. And that's when you can really, you know, swing for the fences. But right now, especially with the timing of Chip Kelly just leaving, and yes, there are so many things wrong with that because they should have done this back in November. I think this was probably the best situation because we don't actually know what happened with guys like Tony White. You know, was there a buyout situation? Was there, you know, did he say, oh, I'll come to UCLA based on this? Some of the other coaches that were being interviewed, was it really that bad of a situation? You know, was Deshaun Foster the best man for the job? We actually don't know what's going on. But at the present moment, there's more life. Like, what is it? Men of Westwood put out a tweet with a video of Deshaun Foster saying, "We need your help. We need your support." And that was that just injected a lot of life. Like all of a sudden, and even Bruin Report, they said that there was a booster that said that they will match up to $50,000. All donations sent to Men of Westwood through Bruin Report. In the next 48 hours. So there are wheels turning. This is kind of a good thing for the program. And that's something Chip Kelly didn't do. Already, Deshaun Foster is the face of this program. Probably not the best hire. Do you hire a position coach and not an OCDC or head coach? That's the direction you want to go. But right now, you know, I could see how some would say that this is probably the best hire they could have done. I could also see how others are like, yeah, I'm done. This is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous hire. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, there's some excitement right now. So if anything, they're going about this the right way. Like I said, it could be, you know, I don't want to go dark with the, if he sucks, they're just going to hire someone in 3 years. Because personally, and I can understand how fans don't want to repeat another 3 years of just mediocre or even worse, just absolute failure in football. Get what I'm saying? Any of you?
I get what you're saying.
So at the press conference, I know, I know Mike and Jamal watch it, but you know, he comes out and he says, you know, and it was a touching moment. He comes out, he's introduced by Wayne Cook, and he's tearing up quite a bit. And the first thing he says, and then he comes back to this over and over again, is, I interviewed like everyone else did. They came back with the best candidate, which is me. I'm ready for this job. I can do this job. It kind of came off to me by the end of it as a little bit of, you know, I'm Stuart Smalley. I'm good enough and smart enough and doggone it, people like me to a degree. But I think that's just a mean way to look at it. He also did, exude some confidence, and it seemed like, you know, he wanted to make sure that everybody knows that he thinks he's ready for the job. With that being said, right, you know, Mike brought up Tony White. If we would have had time to do a podcast about a potential coaching search, I would have talked about how I wanted somebody that has at least a little bit of head coaching experience.
Same.
For you guys, is it the head coaching experience that he's missing, or is it the offensive or defensive coordinator experience that he's missing? What exactly on his resume, because you're talking about a guy who played college football at a very high level, played at the NFL at a very high level, and has coached in college football for a number of years, so it's not like he doesn't know what the recruiting's like. It's not like he doesn't know how a program runs, even though, you know, his... he studied under Jim Mora and Chip Kelly. You know, take that as his coaching tree for what you will, you know, or the coaching tree he's from. But what exactly about his experience profile is the thing that lacks the most? And I know the obvious thing is the head coach thing, but what sticks out the most to you guys? Bill, I'll let you go with that.
Well, I feel like, you know, and you guys can let me know if this is way off, but a running back coach versus a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator, it seems like it's much more responsibility laid on the, you know, on the feet of an OC or DC than it would be for a running backs coach. So the level of responsibility is different. And that is something you're going from a level of responsibility where you're not planning as much, right? Game planning as much, to being the freaking CEO of something. Can you do it? Yes, you can. Is it going to be a learning curve? Yes, a huge learning curve. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the difference. That's the difference. The difference is the workload you had before versus now. A running backs coach, I just don't think it's the same level of workload. I'm not saying you're not doing anything, but it's not the same level of workload as it would be for a DC or a, an OC.
Yeah, and funny too, though, I wonder, and Jamal, I'll let you answer in a second too, but, you know, it jumps out to me that, you know, when you had Chip Kelly, he was very much the offensive coordinator at UCLA the entire time he was there, and that is what is taking up most of his time, and that's what, you know, why he's going to Ohio State, is because he just wants to coach football and all that stuff. And it occurs to me that maybe, you know, we're not necessarily expecting Sean Foster to be calling plays on offense or defense. He's been labeled as a, you know, as supposedly coming in as a CEO type head coach. So theoretically, if he gets good coordinators, then his learning curve is really the overall recruiting / donor management stuff, that type of stuff. And that would be the same learning curve as somebody who had been an OC but never been a head coach. So somebody in the Tony White realm or something like that. Jamal, you know, taking all that in, what are your opinions on that?
Well, I think, I guess it's a mashup of both. It's the in-game responsibility. He's never called games because he's never been an offensive coordinator. And he's also, obviously with no head coaching experience, he isn't managing his coordinators, his guys, his game planning, that kind of stuff. So there's going to be a steep learning curve on game days, practices, those kind of things, where he's having to do the CEO part for planning and getting through a game and adjusting in the game and that kind of stuff. I'm not as worried with the recruiting stuff, because I could be wrong, but my understanding, somebody said he doesn't like to recruit either, but isn't he, as our running backs coach, isn't he responsible for bringing in some of these running backs that have come in and have sort of been the best parts of the Mora and Chip Kelly era? I mean, he had to have something to do with those guys coming in and going, you know, whether it was guys coming in as transfers and succeeding, or you know, guys coming in and being part of the game plan. I mean, it always felt like the running back situation has always been good at UCLA, at least for the last 10 years. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're right. And he, you know, the jury's out on that, because you're right. Some of the rap that he was taking was, is that he was every bit as not committed to recruiting as Kelly was, but then was that something handed down from Kelly? But then there were other rumors saying that one of the reasons he bounced to go to the Raiders was because he was having disagreements with how Kelly was managing the recruiting, with the how it's changed. So that all remains to be seen, like where he's going to be with that. Mike, how are you feeling about, like, what do you think the biggest hole in his experience level? Is it the head coaching? Is it the coordinating? Is it all? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's head coaching, because you don't know how, he doesn't know how to manage in this CAO type of situation. And like you said, if he gets good coordinators, if he gets good position player, position coaches, which he has to fill, whether they're like three or four of them, then yeah, that'll help out itself. You know, one of the rumors is that he would maybe think about bringing on David Shaw as the offensive coordinator, to handle that. You'd be like a little bit of brain trust, but also, even though this is a weird reversal, even though Foster would be Shaw's boss, Shaw would act as a mentor and kind of show him, this is what needs to be done, this is how you need to do it.
Wouldn't that be the most stupendously awesome hire? I don't know, guys. I'm sorry to cut you off, Mike, and I want you to finish your thought.
No, keep going.
But as far as like most absurdly giant swings in how excited you would be about a coordinator hire versus a head coach hire, like, I would be thrilled if David Shaw came in and was part of this staff under Foster. I would be very, very, you know, kind of like, oh my God, this is like, what are we doing here, if they had hired Shaw as a head coach? But with his son on the team, that's certainly something that could be possible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, what do you guys think about, like, you know, David Shaw, we're just spitballing here, as part of the staff. I didn't even think about that to this point. What do you guys think, Jamal, Bill?
I don't know about his offensive chops on this. Like, did he call Jamal? I mean,
yeah,
you know, you hate the school, but did he?
And they did a lot of smash mouth football.
He was the architect of their scheme for running what they were running on offense even before he was the head coach. That's my understanding. Jim Harbaugh was more like the CEO, and he was the one, I forget who was there, but sort of the mastermind behind the scheme for all their great running backs, whether it was McCaffrey and all that stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Well, then, I mean, I don't like his offense. What was that? What was that called? It was from
intellectual brutality.
Not Stanford. That he adopted in his last 2 years. He adopted this.
The North Carolina thing. I'm trying to remember what it is, but yeah.
Carolina, exactly. NC State thing. But either way, like, if it's not that, which I hope it wouldn't, if it's the old school stuff, smash mouth style,
that could be an interesting route.
You know what? It is close to Kelly, because there's a lot of tight end use, and we have so many highlights.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
of tight ends from Stanford catching the ball over our DBs left and right. So, I mean, it wouldn't be too far off of what they do now. So, in actuality, I know we're sort of like, you know, spitballing, but that would actually be, it'd be intriguing at least.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not even, I don't want to overthink it. I'm saying bring him in. Like, look, we're really spitballing, and this is complete speculation, but I mean, bring him in as the quarterback's coach, or as an offensive, a quality controller or something. Just as always part of the program. So you have a little bit of a brain
even he was a director of personnel coaches. Type of situation,
whatever,
Neomatalone.
Yeah. Like, you bring him in as that sort of thing, to where now Foster does have an actual resource of somebody who has coached at a major level, and now all of a sudden you feel a lot better about the brain trust he's relying on, and then you go out and get whatever, you know, the funnest offensive coordinator that fits the style of play that Foster wants to play, and then you're probably already locked into your defensive coordinator, because they just did that contract, but that remains to be seen. But I don't know. I think that would be the best case scenario, is you get, it doesn't have to be David Shaw, but you get some sort of old head with a lot of experience in some sort of support role to Foster, and then you just see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? The guy's saying he's going to recruit. Well, if he recruits, then we're all a lot happier than we were a month ago. The guy says that he's going to bring NIL into the program. Well, nothing was happening before. So if he does that, those are the two like biggest marks I think that he needs to improve on, if he can just coach at a competent level.
I wanted to talk about recruiting really quickly. Even though, you know, he he hasn't been known as, you know, a top recruiter, but he's been able to help bring some of these guys in. I think he realizes he has to do that now. He has to be in the forefront. He has to not be Chip Kelly. He has to go out and say, hey, rather than these stupid schemes like eight clap eighth and all that crap where the golden ticket, you know, it was like, oh, Chip Kelly's handing you a scholarship. You're going to come to UCLA, right? Yeah, no. Recruit a lot of guys, you know, instead of offering like five, you know, 3 to 5 quarterbacks every cycle, go out and do like 10 to 20. Go out and just really cast a wide net with recruiting, really use your assets, get people in here that can help recruit. And I think that is also going to help out with a lot of this situation. But at the same time, NIL is tied to that. So he's already out there making videos for Men of Westwood, trying to get the money in. If the money's in, you can go out to recruits and say, hey, I like your style. I think you'll fit what we're going to do. Bam. Here's what we got. Come visit UCLA.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
And I think it speaks. Well, I was just going to say it speaks to what Jake was saying. It just speaks to the whole learning curve. If you bring in somebody with experience like David Shaw, he can help, lessen that learning curve for Foster. And give him a leg up in terms of, running a program, not just being in charge of one position, that kind of situation. And then, yeah, he could concentrate on the things that we've been asking for, the NIL, the recruiting stuff that Mike was talking about.
And the reason we're harping on Shaw, you know, just in case, you know, everybody knows, but his son is part of the team. So that would be a natural sort of fit. And hopefully, you know, like I said, just, I don't think it's important necessarily who it is though. You know, you get like, you know, just something like that to add to the staff to give him a little bit of juice, especially since the first news that broke after Deshaun Foster was hired was they're losing one of their more experienced coaches, and that's Ken Norton Jr. Is off the staff now, so they're going to have to replace now that position. And by the way, I think there's been a little bit of hyperbole used as to how valuable Norton was to the staff. I do think it was very valuable, but like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, gnashing of teeth and lamentations.
He turned it around last 2 years.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think he's irreplaceable. I do think it hurts, you know. I don't think it's some sort of death blow to his staff. I don't think anybody said that quite either. I think that's kind of a hyperbole in itself. But Norton is gone, so he is going to have to make a couple hires. It feels like, or it seems like, if they just promoted slash gave fake new titles to Jerry Neuheisel and Tim Drebno and Whitfield, right? Was it Whitfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Cody Whitfield. I would imagine those three are going to stick around as part of the staff, although they haven't made any announcements yet.
No.
But you figure you're going to have to hire, an OC. You probably already have your DC in place still because you just hired that guy, although that's not set in stone either. That's TBD. And you're going to need a couple more coaches, four position coaches. So let's hope that some mix of guys with really good recruiting chops, young energy to go along with Foster's young energy, and also some experience, right? I think that would be the best case scenario as far as like how the staff rounds out, and that's what we're going to be looking to hear in the next month or so leading up to spring practice. Now, I think, you know, on balance, all of us are kind of at best, cautiously optimistic about this hire, and at worst, kind of like, oh my God, you know, it really sucks that UCLA is in this position. And even if we say that this is the best they could do at this moment, it's probably not the best long-term solution. You know, we're somewhere in that range, right? Jamal, do you think that'd be fair to say that's where we're landing?
Yeah. I mean, unless something miraculous happens, but yeah.
Bill, do you think that's a fair characterization of what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes?
Yeah.
And then Mike, do you agree with that?
Totally.
So to balance that out a little bit, because I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be overly negative on Deshaun. I don't want to be pumping sunshine either. Like, I think we're all just trying to be real here and giving our real opinions. However, one little, you know, note I do want to make in regards to the biggest problem most people have with this hire, including myself, in that he just doesn't have the proper experience to match the fact that he got hired by UCLA. And this next little bit will kind of cut both ways. But I just have four examples of current coaches that also were never offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, or head coaches before getting their first head coaching job, right? Basically, these are examples of guys that skip the coordinator step in getting their first job. Number one on the list is a guy that was also interviewing for UCLA's job, theoretically, allegedly. He was down in Old Mexico when he talked to Martin Jarmond, according to reports. And that is none other than PJ Fleck, row the boat. He was
God,
a position
coach.
God,
thank God they didn't do that.
You wouldn't like PJ Fleck?
God, no.
Why not?
Well, this weekend from a Minnesota alum, I got some inside information that just not a very personable coach. There are many in Minnesota that don't want him there anymore. Yeah, there were some that were saying take him.
I wouldn't have been super thrilled with PJ Fleck anyway. However, PJ Fleck, his little resume is before he went to Western Michigan, he was a position coach for 6 years before becoming Western Michigan's head coach, doing pretty well, and then bouncing out into Minnesota's head coach. Mm-hmm. PJ Fleck, number one on the list.
And where's Minnesota now?
Well, whatever. I'm just saying that he's a head coach. He had some success at Western Michigan, right? We can acknowledge that.
Yeah.
A little more successful in that scale would be none other than Luke Fickell. Okay. Now, if you remember, Luke Fickell is the guy that took over for Ohio State before they hired Urban Meyer as an interim head coach for a season after, I think that was the Tressel thing with the tattoo gate and all that stuff. Remember how quaint that is, right? Players getting kicked out for having using their scholarship money for tattoos or something, right? That's just insane to think of. But Luke Fickell was the co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State for a number of years underneath an actual defensive coordinator. He was like the assistant to the regional manager coordinator before getting the interim tag at Ohio State. And then he went on to be their proper DC for a few years and then went on to having a head coach job at Cincinnati. Also, Urban Meyer. I just mentioned him. Guess what? He was a position coach for 12 years before becoming head coach of Bowling Green. Never was a coordinator. And then all of a sudden he was the head coach of Bowling Green, launched him into the nuclear orbit as far as coaches go. And then last but not least, Jim Harbaugh was, and by the way, of all these players, Jim Harbaugh has the player profile that most closely matches Deshaun Foster, right? A good college guy, a great pro, and then turned into a head coach. He was a consultant for 4 years in the NFL, QB coach for 2 years before becoming the head coach of the University of San Diego. And that was his first head coaching job, and then parlayed that into Stanford, then parlayed that into everything else, and now he's a national title winning head coach. Now, I don't know if that makes anybody feel any better or any worse. I will point out that all these guys who got a job before, without becoming coordinator first, they all started at a much lower level than UCLA in the Big Ten Power Five football job. So, I mean, take that how you will. But it's not unprecedented for a guy that doesn't have the coaching chops that we're all lamenting Foster doesn't have to being a successful coach. There's nothing precluding him from that. Because this is just, I came up with this list in like 10 minutes just searching some random coaches. So it's not as, maybe it's not as uncommon as we think. And certainly, I think that on the bonus side, we're all happy that Deshaun Foster at least wants the job. And I think, once again, to go back to that press conference, it is glaringly apparent that he wants the job. Sorry for the for waxing on there. Last little bit here for you two, Jamal and Bill. Right now, last I checked, the Vegas over-under on UCLA football for next year in 2024 is 5.5. Okay? What do you think, let's start with you, Bill. You already predicted the Bruins to have like 3 wins next year, I want to say, the last time we talked. But where do you think Foster will land on that? Is he over or under the 5.5? And how many years, or how long do you think the honeymoon that we have in Westwood now is going to last with Deshaun? 2-part question.
So first part, under. And second part, how long the honeymoon lasts? It might last it up until mid-August, September. Or if he hires really lackluster coordinators, it might end this summer after spring. After spring ball, I should say, not spring. You know what I'm saying? Between spring and summer,
it might
end there, depending on if he hires. Like, new Heisel as the OC and you're like sitting there going like, there's no effort at all. Then I would say the honeymoon could be over quicker.
Jamal, what do you think?
I got them at 4 wins. I'm looking at their schedule. I think they can. That's their floor. I think they'll get 4 wins easily. Whether they get up to 5 or 6 is going to get harder. And as far as the honeymoon, I think 3 years. I think 3 years still, because they'll say this was a transition year.
He's definitely got a year zero, you know, like as an excuse.
Yeah. And then it's 2 years, and then that's it, I think. Yeah. Barring a miracle. But yeah, 3 years as the honeymoon's over.
Mikey, how are you feeling?
I'm going to say over, just burly. But yeah, I'll go with. It'll depend too. If he goes 5 wins, 5 wins, I think the honeymoon will be over after year two.
Yeah.
Or year one, whatever. Year zero, year
one.
But
you didn't show some sort of improvement from year one to year two.
Yeah. And if there's nothing, and it's the kind of improvement. Like, let's, you know, we talked about this stuff before. If he's like losing games by like 3 points, it's like, okay, well, they're almost there. And, you know, let's see what happens with recruiting. But if it's like, no, they're just getting beat down. Yeah. I say 2 years.
Yeah. I'm curious. I think, Mike, you're on something too when you say that it's going to depend on how much he improves from year one to year two. I am something we didn't even touch on, guys. The one of the benefits of making this hire is you theoretically can hold on to the guys that haven't left the program yet. If they are able to keep the guys they have on offense at the very least, and you know, guys like Jay Toya and the linebackers that are coming back. If they keep those guys around in the program, they're still, you know, depending on what kind of offensive scheme they run, there's still reason to be fairly optimistic about how good this offense can be. So that is something that they are going to be able to point to for as, you know, progress that they go through. But, you know, Bill, like what do you think about that? You said he could be the honeymoon could be over by the end of the spring. You don't think that there's any sort of year zero here? You think that the
no? I don't think there's year zero if I'm not saying he is, but if he's lackluster and like really just like I said, if he does new Heisel as his OC, I would totally see that as like, dude, you didn't even try, bro. Like seriously.
Yeah.
Like I just
no, I get what you're saying.
So yeah, so no, so I do think it depends on his hires. If they hire Shaw, that's like a little bit more outside the box. And I could see, like, you could say, like, oh, I see what he's trying to do. Okay, this makes sense. Okay, let's give him a shot. But if it's just bullshit from the very beginning, no, I don't think he has that long. Because there's a lot of people who still, like, yeah, Bruins are like, yeah, but anyone who's not like a real Bruin fan are like, what the hell did you just do at UCLA? You know, like, people come up going, really? That's who you hired? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
especially
so
with
not
this
like
fan base.
This huge. Yeah, so I think it's going to be less time. That's my opinion.
It really is funny too. Like, I want each of us to just kind of give a few sentences on that particular issue. There's a couple more things now that you say that triggered me to want to talk about a couple more things. But one is, personally, when the hire gets done, it was like 50-50 for me of the guys are like, what the hell is that about? To the, oh no, this is going to be real good for you guys. You know, true blue Bruin. And this is not coming from people that were Bruin fans. What has been just the anecdotal reaction you've gotten from your friends and family and just people like they've been randomly texting you about the situation at UCLA now, as far as this particular hire, Mikey? Positive, negative.
It's been positive.
Mix.
It's been mostly positive. Then you go on the dark web, aka social media.
Don't do that.
And that's where
yeah, we're not talking about that.
All hell breaks loose and people are just mad and just like okay, first off, people, it's a game. Don't take it seriously. If you're really that upset about UCLA's hire, go follow Georgia or Ohio State or Alabama or whatnot. You know, it's a freaking game. Relax, okay? No. We don't need any pulmonary embolisms just because you don't like a hire. You know, it's like, breathe, people. But it's been positive. And I think it is because, I will say this too. A lot of my friends or you know, people that like football aren't as engaged in it as we are. So I'm not saying they don't have less knowledge, but knowing that it's like, oh, you hear Deshaun Foster.
They're not as connected. They remember him playing.
There you go. They don't have all the inside information.
Yeah.
I'll say that. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And I think it's mostly because, not just it's Deshaun Foster, but because it's not Chip Kelly anymore.
Yeah, no, I see that. Jamal, have you gotten any sort of reaction to this, even though you're not a Bruin?
Well, my locals are the Slack channel, and everybody's actually very...
That's been, yeah. The peeps on the Slack channel have been...
Oh, by the way, Jamal, I've heard you say we a few times.
Yeah, they've been very positive about it.
I've heard you say we a few times in this. Right on, brother.
Jamal is adopted, Bruin.
Yeah, I rooted for UCLA until I was 18, so... Like I said, my locals are the Slack channel. That's where I get the information, you know, the heavy hitters, and they're very much positive about this situation. So, yeah.
And if you want to be on the Slack channel, of course, subscribe to the What's Bruin show feed on for how much, Mike?
$2.
Patreon.com/What's Bruin Show.
$2.
Bill, what are your thoughts with your anecdotal local reaction?
The anecdotal, with Bruin alums and Bruin fans, it hasn't been high five, and it's been like, that's what it's been.
And how much shit have the Trojans been talking?
Not too much. They're like, one Trojan was just like, you know, dude, that's who you hired? And that was about it. Like, really?
Yeah.
In a way, that kind of says something.
the Bruins have been like, they haven't been like, this is the greatest thing, and they haven't poo-pooed it like all the way. It's just like,
It is crazy. So, yeah, it is just so crazy to think, you know, where we were when they hired Chip Kelly, and then where we ended up, and then now, who knows with this one, right? You know, is this going to be Carl Durrell? Is this going to be Jim Mora? You know, who the hell knows? The last thing, a couple things I want to get to. I want to come around back to Chip Kelly in a minute and just crap on him a little bit. But Jamal, you had one other idea you want to talk about.
I was just curious, what if this year is beyond the pale? It's a miracle season, and somehow UCLA is 10-2. You know, Deshaun Foster hits every right button. What is everybody's thought after that? Is it a fluke, what are your thoughts if this season goes beyond what our low expectations are?
I mean, I don't even think you'd have to get to 10 for us to be, you know, farting rainbows. I mean, he gets north of 7 wins. I think all of us are going to be like,
right?
Oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And like, oh, you know, you think about what, you know, how low expectations will have dropped. And
10 wins, we're building a statue.
I mean, we're getting close to that, right? And it's like, oh my God, what happened? But I think, if he gets to 7, 8, 9 wins, that we're already at like colossal success territory. So if he got to 10 wins, like, I don't know. I don't know if I would survive. I'd probably have an aneurysm or something. Bill might actually, I saw something else we had to talk about too. But Bill might actually decide to donate some money to the school at that point. He might support the NIL. Bill, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I still wouldn't give money. I'm too broke for that. But I would say, it would be nice. It is like Jamal was saying, like insane, way off out of reality there, but it'd be nice. That'd be fun. Cause I would hope that one of those 10 wins was against SC. So it'd be
or
fun.
Or Ohio
to say,
State. Wouldn't that be awesome?
We don't play Ohio State, but yes, it would be.
Oh, that's right. It's next year. We? Yeah. I think it's the following year, but yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, it would just be nice if one of those 10 wins were against SC, and we could make fun that a first year coach with no head coaching experience beat out Danton is now like a dual DC and co-defensive
coordinator.
That'd be great.
Yeah. He's a assistant to the defensive coordinator at SC under Riley and the other guy. Mikey, just thoughts on that real quick.
That'd be funny as hell, dude.
I'll tell you what would be awesome. Like, we would have, like, the What's Bruin show would blow up so huge if that's that huge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, two more things. One, Bill, you told me that you would donate at least 20 whole dollars to the NIL. Now are you reneging on that?
What did you say, you racist son of a bitch?
You bastard. Way to turn that one on me, you dick. No.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
You told me privately that you would donate at least $20 to NIL. Are you going to still do that, or are you backing off that.
If they go ten and two, no.
We're not waiting a year for you to donate $20. You said you were going to donate $20 this year. Like when Kelly first left, you're like, yeah, I'm going to give him $20. Are you still going to give him $20? I want breaking news.
Yeah, I'll give him $20 after the season's over. I'll see.
No, Bill. We have to wait 9 months for you to donate $20?
There is no time frame on it, so I have every right to wait.
I'm gonna send $20 in your name. $20 in Bill Shirley's name, just so it's there.
I did do my donation to Men of Westwood today. It's funny, I've come around. I still find it mildly offensive that college football fans are being, told that they now have to donate, this much, that much, this much to pay for the players that are going to be playing at their schools that are getting scholarships and all this stuff. And I'm firmly behind the idea that most of the NIL should be coming from the corporate area, right? Businesses that are donating and people of resources that are doing that. However, in the short term, I do see some value to trying to give Deshaun Foster a little bit of a leg up in any way possible. So, I'm chipping down a little bit of my what would formerly go to the part of my what would go to the Wooden Athletic Fund is going to Men of Westwood right now, and I'm not unhappy to do it, but hopefully they can get the steam rolling here, and then it can get to where it needs to be in the way that it's supposed to be, which is businesses paying these guys to use their name, image, and likeness, not this fucking loophole that's created that is completely untenable at this point.
All right. Last little bit here. Oh, you see what I did there? On Petros and Money, Deshaun Foster said two things that I put on the Twitter, and that seemed to energize a lot of fans. Petros asked him about maybe moving fall camp to San Bernardino again.
Go to Kalu.
He says he's thought of that. And if anything, he does like the idea of moving fall camp off campus. Now, that's my first question, all of you. And secondly, he said they were asked about the spring game. Are they going to have it at Drake? What's going to happen? He goes, I want to have it back at the Rose Bowl. And when I want like a whole fan appreciation situation going. What do you guys think of those two things? Jamal,
that's already worth a zero year because that's what you want, right? That's all UCLA fans are asking. Fine, the program isn't going to be the best in the world, that's fine, but can you at least pretend like this is a football program and not your coordinating clinic, and like just involve participation? Fans would love that. Fans would love a day. I mean, even Cal fans will go to Memorial Stadium for their spring game or whatever they call it these days, either blue and yellow game. Regardless of the fact that the program can suck or is just mediocre, fans like to feel like they're participants, especially and I believe for college sports alumni especially like to feel like they're participants, not spectators. So that alone to me is worth a zero year. To give him slack because he wants to foster a culture where college the football program has relevancy and isn't at midnight on the East Coast with tarped off Rose Bowl because the guy basically killed the program. We're headed to
San Bernardino. We'll see if we're headed to San Bernardino or not, anything to open up the doors to the program, to get people excited about the program after years of, any chance they got, like shitting on our ability to be kind of rah-rah about the team other than, some moments on the field. I will give it to Kelly. He was able to play SC pretty darn well, and we got a couple of nice moments out of there. But overall, just so many instances of him shutting down fan support instead of encouraging it. And hopefully that's something that Foster will get right, and that is, not turning the press against him instantly and not doing whatever he can to chase off fans and recruits at that point. The last thing with Chip, and that is just, I said it on my little reaction pod a couple days ago, but this really turned Chip into kind of a villain for me, the way that this ended. if this guy had any fucking dignity or grace, he would have just left the program after, you know, after the season, early after the season, instead of, and by the way, this is very much an indictment on the UCLA administration and how they handled it. Whether or not we would have ended up with Foster as a coach or not, you know, that's all, you know, irrelevant to the point that these two, you know, these two, you know, UCLA administration, German, whatever, versus Chip Kelly, played this game of chicken for like, you know, 2.5 months and put the school in just a horribly disadvantageous position to do a coaching search and to do a transition. And the players, right, that are hanging on and recommitted to Kelly for 2024 and then watched him go shop for jobs for the last month. It's just, to me, it just leaves a very bad taste in my mouth about, you know, all the things I liked about Chip when he was here and the things that we kind of, you know, looked past during his tenure. To me, you know, none of it is justified anymore. And it's just, this was a big swing by the Bruins and an absolute fucking strikeout because this guy was not up to the task. And if he had any, you know, if he was going to do this, why didn't he just fucking allow Deshaun Foster to become the head coach?
Integrity.
He had the integrity. Thank you. He should have allowed Deshaun Foster to become the head coach and just step down and become the OC if that's all he wanted to do. You know, because UCLA was paying him plenty of money. You know, F him for real. And, you know, and good luck at Ohio State. And he's going to win a national title. I'm going to be pissed.
Well, what is that? What is that one scene from Half Baked? Fuck you, fuck you.
You're cool.
You're cool. We're pointing at Deshaun Foster.
Yeah. it's just very frustrating to me. Guys, Jamal, final thoughts before we let you go.
Thank God the Chip Kelly, I think the Chip Kelly, God damn it, the Chip Kelly era should have ended sooner than it did. Thank God it's over. Let's move on. And I hope for better days for you guys. In terms of the UCLA program. And, you know, I'd like to see better days too.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Jamal. And we will talk to you soon. Bill, any last words?
No, man, I'm hoping for the best, but I'm expecting a little bit more of a painful reality, but I'm hoping for the best. And I'm glad Chip is gone, and let's see what we can do. UCLA has an opportunity after this year, after year zero, to really do something and take all that money that they you know they chose to pursue over keeping the Pac-12 together, take all that money and actually do something with it, and hopefully it get better over time. So, you know, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Of course, as always, go Bruins.
Good evening.
Smoke them if you got them.
That was the What's Brewing Show.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, Rob, we play some ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.